If you've been on the internet, you've probably seen those ads that they often have a kind of a crudely drawn graphic, and they tell you, you know, if there's this one weird trick or one unusual weird food that you can eat, and if you will do this one weird thing, why, it will enable you to lose belly fat or cure diabetes or learn language or have more energy or have a better night's sleep or have your children do better in school. Just this one weird thing. And many of these ads actually are the product of the same company. They use the word weird a lot because it actually captures people's attention. And they always talk about it's this secret that they don't want you to know about. The they is always sort of vaguely undefined, you know, who are those people? Oh, there's sort of these corporate forces out there that want to keep the truth from you. They always have, the graphics are usually quite crude because slick professional ads smack of big corporate involvement, and so they're trying to say, yeah, those people, they're the bad guys and we have the truth for you. Just so you know, those ads are scams, if you didn't already know that. The belly fat ad alone has raked in more than $1 billion for weight loss supplements that have been proven to be ineffective, scientifically proven. You don't want to pay much attention to those. And having said all of that now, today I want to remind you of one simple weird trick that can change your life. I guarantee you, if you will do this one simple thing, it will make your life better. And that one simple thing is the thing that we talk about this week, and that is give thanks to God. Here's what we need to know. Giving thanks pleases God. And Psalm 69 is quoted a number of times in the New Testament, describing Messiah, actually. And part of the reason for that is that this psalm was written by David at a really low point of his life. And it was so applicable to Christ because he talks about his suffering. Well, Christ would suffer and express his suffering. This is a psalm that comes right out of suffering. In verses 3 and 4 in the psalm, David wrote, "I am worn out from calling for help. My throat is parched. My eyes fail looking for my God." Have you ever felt like that? I'm just worn out from asking God to help. I'm looking for him and I don't find him anywhere. He doesn't answer. He pleaded with God, asking him to show up, to no avail. He said, "Those who hate me without reason are more numerous than the hairs on my head." Now, in my case, that would mean there's not that many of them. But he was pointing out, he was saying, there's people who are out to get me, you know, and he wasn't paranoid. There were people aiming to do him harm and for no good reason. The end of verse 4, he says, "I am forced to restore what I did not steal." Now, I want you to think about how that feels for a bit. I actually think he might have been using that as imagery, but he's saying, I'm being accused of things and forced to make things right that were things I never did wrong. How do you like it when that happens to you, when you are falsely accused? I was watching a football game on TV, I know, shocking, recently, and I watched a scene. I've seen this a million times, and if you watch football, you've seen it too. Wide receiver is running down the sidelines in his long pass pattern, and there's a defensive back running right with him, covering him. And just before the ball gets there, the receiver goes down. And boom, in comes the flag from the official. Pass interference, he's calling it. Instantly, the defensive back jumps in the air and holds out his hands in the classic plea of the innocent for, I'm innocent. I'm being falsely accused and we're going to be punished. And I remember when I was watching it, I thought, ooh, I don't think that was pass interference. And then they show the replay, and you can see in the replay what happened is as these two guys are running right next to each other, the receiver actually stubbed his toe, tripped, and fell down. Had nothing to do with the defensive back. He was completely innocent. And he's being punished for it. Oh, man, does that hurt. Imagine Jesus Christ perfectly innocent, never did anything wrong, being accused of people of being demonic and being so bad he deserved to be executed, tortured and executed on a cross. How do you deal with that kind of indignation that engenders? David was feeling that. Verse 19, he said he was scorned, disgraced, and shamed. So you come to verse 30 and 31, and he talks about, in verses 30 and 31 in that psalm, how he's going to respond in this awful situation where he's looking for God to answer. He's not getting any answers, being falsely accused. People are hating him. All these terrible things are happening to him. And here's what he says. I will praise God's name in song and glorify him with thanksgiving. This will please the Lord more than an ox, more than a bull with its horns and hooves. David's response in this awful situation was, I'm going to give thanks to God and praise him. Man, that is a counterintuitive plan. That is not the usual response. And in verse 31, he makes this profound statement. He says, this pleases God more than some ox or bull. In other words, he's talking about making sacrifices. You know, you look at the Old Testament, you look at the ancient Jewish religion, sacrifices played a big part. You know, going all the way back, Abraham offered sacrifices to God even before the law of Moses. But then the law comes along. Man, you read the book of Leviticus, and there's all these sacrifices you're supposed to make. And as people typically do, the ancient Jewish people never really understood the point of those sacrifices for the most part. They began to see them as righteous acts they were doing. But that played a really critical point, a central role in their religion. And here, David says an amazing thing. There's something way more important to God than offering sacrifices. As critical as that seems to be, and central a role as it plays, here's what God really wants. That you give thanks. It's way more important. That pleases God more than some bull or ox that you would offer to him as a sacrifice. That's, for ancient Jewish people, that would have been a revolutionary idea. But it is consistent with what you see in the New Testament. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, we've seen it many times. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. What does God want us to do? Give thanks in everything. All circumstances. Ephesians 5:20 says we should be always giving thanks to the Father. Yeah, why should we give thanks? That, the amazing thing is, in everything, David's situation, it's miserable. He's feeling down. He's discouraged. He's suffering. He's in indignation. And in the midst of it, right thing is, give thanks. And Paul says, in every situation, all circumstances, always, all the time, give thanks. You know, why should we give thanks in everything? There's a lot of things that happen in our lives that we're not thankful for. At least I'm not. You know, after I underwent surgery on my arm, that night, I'm awake at 2 o'clock in the morning because, you know, I'm lying in bed and there's almost nothing I can do that will make my arm not hurt. You know, propping up on pillows and trying to, you know, and you get a position where it's like, oh, okay, it's not just killing me. So now don't move. You know, well, here's the good news. They give you pain medication. Here's the bad news. It didn't help at all. I might as well have been taking sugar pills, except for one thing. The pain medication they gave me made me wired and awake. You know, normally if you have surgery, you have that anesthesia stuff that's in you, it makes you dopey and sleepy for about 24 hours. But they gave me this pain medication, wide awake, delirious, 2 o'clock in the morning, your arm's hurting. It's like, okay, this isn't too bad. Then you shift. Oh, wasn't real thankful for it. I was sitting there thinking, God, thank you for this. Thank you that my arm is killing me. Thank you that I can't sleep. Thank you for the pain medication that is useless. This is wonderful. No, not thankful for that. How are we, you know, I mean, you all can relate to that. And I know that there are situations, a lot of you in the church are sitting in the middle of them right now. And you're saying, they're way worse than my little adventure with my arm. And you're thinking, how am I supposed to give thanks for this? It's awful. How am I supposed to give thanks? Why should I give thanks for things that I don't want and don't appreciate at all? Even in those difficult times, God doesn't ask me necessarily to give thanks for those things, but in those things. Psalm 7, verse 17 says, I will give thanks to the Lord because of his righteousness. Even when you're lying in bed at 2 o'clock in the morning in a lot of pain and unable to sleep and not very happy about it, is God still righteous? Well, yeah. Is he deserving of my thanks because of his righteousness? Imagine if he weren't righteous. What if God weren't fair? What if God weren't just? What if God was capricious and played tricks on people and was just kind of out to get us? How would life be? It would be awful. So I have something to give thanks to God for, even in that situation. I will give thanks to God because he's righteous. Psalm 107, verse 8 says of God's people, let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love. Even in that situation, when you're in the midst of pain and it's really hurting, the fact is, God loves me. What if he didn't? What if God said, yeah, you know what, I love most people, but you, Rick, nah, not so much. I really kind of hate you. You really make me sick. How would that feel? That'd be pretty bad, wouldn't it? How great it is, even in your own pain, to be able to go, you know what, God, I thank you that you love me, even in this. Psalm 136, verse 1 says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his love endures forever. What if God weren't good? What if he were evil? We have reason to give thanks to God because of who he is, no matter what situation we are in. In his book titled Awe, simply, just the word awe, A-W-E, Paul David Tripp says that we human beings are actually hardwired for the concept of awe. We are built to live in awe of something. And that we actually have an inescapable need for it, and we search for it all the time. Our soul is nourished by the sense of just being blown away by being in awe of something. And I know that's true. And on our guest bedroom in our house, we have a framed photo of Swami's Beach. And it's dated January 6, 2006. And it says on it, Big Wednesday. And that was the day that we had the biggest swell that has hit our shores in the 37 years that Lori and I have lived in this area. And we went down to the beach to see these waves come in, these waves that were taller than our two-story house. Huge, monstrous waves rolling into the shore. They're thundering, and it was amazing. It was awesome. And not just in the, you know, devalued sense that word is so often used. Oh, yeah, that's just awesome today. I mean, it was awesome. It's just like, wow, mesmerizing to watch these things came in. You know, what was interesting was the roads were packed with people that had come from all over the county to come down to watch those waves. Why? Because people want to be in awe. Here's the thing. We're not created to live just in awe of creation. The creation points to something far greater, to God himself. He is the very definition of awesome. He's holy. He's majestic. He's all-powerful. He's all-wise. He's all-good. He's all-loving. He is awesome. And here's the thing, the more we live in awe of God, the more we're going to be able to respond in every situation by giving thanks to Him. The reason we often fail to give thanks to God is that we actually are more awed by our own fear, our own felt needs for something than we are in awe of God. If we perceived how accurately, how infinitely awesome God is, it would begin to eclipse our obsession with ourselves the way the sun during the daylight hours eclipses the stars. We would only see the sun and be thankful. We'd see God and be thankful for Him. So we have reason to give thanks in every situation because of who God is. We have reason to give thanks to God because of the many things He has done for us, His blessings that He pours out on us. You know, one of the things that we often don't give thanks for is where we live. It's an incredible blessing to live here in the United States of America. Just like Michelle mentioned, we have had a transfer of power, and it happens every 4 years. We vote, and a new president comes in, an old president goes out, and nobody gets killed. It's amazing. I read an interesting story recently. This guy was in a, this is a true story. This guy was in a, went into this cafe in Malibu, and he got in, and there's this kind of, this guy, young radical kind of guy, and he's in the cafe, and he's starting to rip on the United States out loud. Everybody's like, he's preaching. What's wrong with everything in the United States? It's this, you know, and just ripping our government right and left, you know. And there was one older gentleman that it was obvious he was turned off by this young guy, and he just turned away from him and just is eating his soup. And the young radical guy goes over to his table and sits down and says, "Sir, if you can tell me one thing that the United States of America has done for you, one measly thing, then I'll leave you alone." The guy put his spoon down, and in a very heavily accented Russian immigrant accent, he said, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness." And he went back to eating his soup. The young radical shut up and left the building. He had nothing to say. We live in a place where that's the law of the land. We hold these truths to be self-evident, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We should be giving thanks to God every day of our lives. We may not like some of the things that are happening in our country. We may not be happy with the direction of the country. But we should forever be giving thanks to God for the freedom that we have here. Now, here's the question that's an interesting one. Why does God make such a big thing out of giving thanks? You know, okay, so God wants us to give thanks and everything. Why? Why is that such a big deal? Romans 1, verse 21 tells us that all of the problems of the human race stem from one root. Although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor gave thanks to Him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. You read what happens after that in the context, and you see just the descent of human nature starts with this. We don't honor Him as God and give thanks. All the problems start with failing to give thanks to God. Right this moment and every day of your life, you are either full of gratitude toward God and giving Him thanks, thereby doing His will, or you are rebelling against Him, and you are speeding down the road to death. Understand, there is no in between. There's no neutral position. You're doing one or the other all the time. Am I being thankful to God today? Am I giving thanks even in this situation? Or am I saying, I do not appreciate what You've allowed in my life, God, and I'm going my own way. I'm angry at You. I'm not accepting who You are and what You have chosen. One or the other. And everything in life. You know, just a few weeks ago, we went through the annual ritual of extortion we call Halloween. And, you know, doesn't anybody else see what we're training our kids here to do? It's to run a criminal enterprise, you know? Trick or treat, give me, you know, treats, or I'm going to do some dirty trick to you. That's nothing but a protection racket, you know? Pay me off or something bad's going to happen to you. Okay, little exaggeration. I really am not too concerned about a four-year-old girl in a mermaid costume is going to do to me, but I noticed something this year that happened several times. You'd have, sometimes the little smaller kids would come up, you know, and they'd ring the door, trick or treat, you know, and you'd give them their candy, and the parents would be close by. They'd be, you know, kind of about 15 feet back from the front door, watching over the kids, make sure everything's okay, you know, and you'd put the candy in their bags, and they'd turn around, start to walk away, and the parents, this happened probably five or six times, say, "What do you say?" And the kids would turn around and go, "Thank you," you know, and then they walk on. So here's the thing. Why are the parents making such a big thing about saying thank you? Well, you know, they want their kids to grow up to be polite. Well, yeah, that's true. But there's something way bigger at stake if you think about it. Why, you know, if parents are smart, and I think many of these are, they're saying this is a really important point. You need to say thank you, because if you don't, what are you saying? Well, you're saying, you're giving me something that I deserve. You owe me this. And so what if that child grows up with that attitude? That child grows up entitled, thinking, I'm owed something. I deserve something. You should give me something. They become demanding. That's a bad place to be. The act of thanking says, I'm not owed this. I recognize that this is a gift, and this is because of your grace that you are giving, your kindness that you're giving this to me. And I'm very thankful to you. I am acknowledging that. We're in exactly the same position as those kids. We are either giving thanks to God, or we're saying, you owe me this. I deserve certain treatment, and I demand certain treatment from you. And man, that's a bad place to be when it comes to standing before God. Wow, I had no idea that a child's entire character and future were at stake on Halloween. Well, yeah, it is, but it's bigger than that. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights. Everything that we have that we would say is good is a gift from God. Everything. You know, is it a good thing that you're alive today? Yes, it is. That is a gift, and it is given to you by God. Is it a good thing that you can see, that you have vision? Yes, it is. That's a gift from God. Is it a good thing that you can breathe today? It's a gift from God. It's a gift you can stand up and move around. That's a gift from God. And that's true of every single good thing in our lives. They're all gifts from Him. And we are either saying, you owe it to me, God, and I want more, or we're saying, thank you. You know, you could say when that little four-year-old comes to my door on Halloween in her mermaid costume that she deserves the candy that that I put in her bag because she did the right things. She wore the costume and she said trick or treat, so she's earned it, right? Wrong. I don't owe her anything. She can wear a costume all she wants. All I have to do is turn off my light and not answer the door. Too bad, kid. I don't owe you anything. She's not earning anything by doing that. She's receiving a gift. Every good gift from God, we should be giving Him thanks, because otherwise what we're doing is saying, you owe us something, God. Continually giving thanks to God is the antidote to the self-obsession, pride, and demanding spirit that is pretty much characteristic of human nature. Now, there's another aspect to this idea of how important this is to our spiritual health, giving thanks. And that is that continually giving thanks is crucial because it requires faith, doesn't it? Sometimes, you know, sometimes it doesn't require a lot of faith. Well, it always does, because you can say, well, I don't see God handing me this thing. But even more, there are going to be occasions when giving thanks to God is nothing but an act of faith. There's a family in our church that went through a bad dream scenario many years ago. They bought a wonderful new home. They're excited about their new house. And the day after they moved in their brand new home, the husband, the breadwinner in the family, lost his job totally unexpectedly out of the blue. And now they had a mortgage to pay and no income. How do you give thanks in that situation? You have to exercise faith. You have to say, even in this, God, we trust that you are good, that you are loving, and that you are wise, and that somehow you're working in this situation. That's great faith. Hebrews 11:6 tells us, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So in other words, if we want to have a proper relationship with God, we want to be spiritually healthy, it requires faith. And faith is exactly what we must exhibit when we say thank you, God, especially in situations like David was in when he wrote this psalm. Faith is very much like a muscle. Muscles need to be exercised. And so giving thanks is exercising your faith and getting stronger in faith. Now, one more thing about giving thanks. Why does God want us to give thanks? Well, it's crucial for our spiritual health. It's also crucial for joy. Psalm 9, verses 1 and 2 says this: I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. Cool, there we are. That's the theme today. I will tell of your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing the praises of your name, Most High. Isn't it interesting that being glad and rejoicing in God is right in the context it's associated with giving thanks to God? It's not the only place you see that in the Bible. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we already quoted verse 18 and verse 16, Paul commanded, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So some translations of verse 16 say, be joyful always. How are you supposed to do that? Be joyful always? We experience joy as a result of something. You know, I'm joyful because I got a big bonus, because I did unexpectedly well on a test, or because we had a child born, or the team won, or we got married, or, whatever. Got promotion. Then we have joy. But what do you do if, instead of all those good things, instead of acing the test, you got a D? You know, instead of a bonus, you got a cut in pay. Instead of a child being born, you can't get pregnant. Instead of, your team winning the game, you got blown out. How are you supposed to be joyful in all of those things? Well, Paul, in that context, went on to say, well, here's how. You pray without ceasing and you give thanks. Because giving thanks actually changes our hearts and starts to cause us to experience the ability to be joyful. There's a connection between giving thanks and changing your heart. The discipline of giving thanks can actually change how we think and how we feel. It focuses on the good rather than the negative that the human nature gravitates towards. It resets our hearts. Years ago, Lori and I were thrilled to be able to use, we got frequent flyer miles, we were able to go on a trip to Hawaii. We went to Maui, and years before that, we had been in Maui and we had toured, just kind of walked through this one hotel there in Maui that is just this beautiful hotel. Just, we said, oh man, what a glorious place, but we will never get to stay here because it's way too expensive for us. You know, this is way out of our price range. Well, this, several years ago, before we said, let's try to bid for a hotel on our trip for Priceline. And so we did, and we said, you know what? Just for fun, let's put in an absurdly low figure, because all they can do is say no, you know? So we're bidding for a luxury resort, and we bid at this ridiculously low figure, and we were shocked that we got a hotel. And then we saw which hotel it was. And it was that hotel that we said, we will never, ever be able to stay in that place. And we got this hotel room for like a quarter of the cost of a room in that place normally. It was like, yeah, thank you, Jesus. You know, this is good. So we go on our trip there, and we had one of those moments that has lived on in our history. You know, we're in this hotel, and we're just kind of going around going, oh, this is so cool. So we go to our room, and we go into the room. We walk in, and Lori just goes, sweet. And I said, no, it's just a room. And, you know, instead of a suite, you know. So we've had that a lot. But anyway, so we're in this place, and it was beautiful, and we were just like, this is so great. Now, that I had to go down to the front desk for some reason. I don't even remember what it was. Just some minor request. I went down to the front desk, and I'm there at the front desk, and there's this man just a few feet away talking to one of the employees. And he was unhappy. He was unhappy because the room that he and his family had been given, he did not feel was acceptable to his standards. And so he had demanded to be moved, and they'd moved him to an even better room. And as they were describing it, I thought, whoa. I mean, he had a great room with an amazing view, you know, but he still wasn't happy. He didn't like this, he didn't like that, and he didn't feel like he was unhappy because he'd had to be moved, and he was demanding all these perks, and they gave him a few extra perks, you know, to try to mollify him, you know, and he just was not happy. He was kind of went away sort of grumpy. So here's my question. Who do you think enjoyed their stay at that hotel more? Lori and me, or that guy and his family? I guarantee you it was Lori and me. We're there just thankful that we could be there. We're just going, this is great. We're so happy. Thank you. We're here. And every time, you know, an employee would come up, is there anything I can do for you? No, but thanks for asking. You know, it's great. You know, we're just happy to be here. We're thankful. And this guy's going, I don't like this. I don't like that. They ought to be giving me this. I'm going to write a letter. And he's not having a good time at all. In other words, his demanding nature caused him to actually have way less. And our giving thanks created joy for us. And that is exactly what we are all going to experience day in and day out, every day of our lives. U.S. News and World Report a few years ago published an article titled Happiness Explained, and reported that there are numerous studies that show that people who make a daily practice of being thankful are, quote, not only more joyful, they are healthier, less stressed, more optimistic, and more likely to help others. Would you like to be more joyful? Would you like to be less stressed? Would you like to be more optimistic? Would you like to be helping others more? Here's how you do it. You give thanks. It's as simple as that. Academy Award-winning actor Denzel Washington recently has interestingly been talking about the fact that he reads the Bible every day. And late last year, he was at a banquet and he gave a speech. And here's what he said. He told people they should live continually with gratitude for God's goodness. And he said, give thanks for blessings. I'm quoting, give thanks for blessings every day. Every day. Embrace gratitude. Encourage others. It is impossible to be grateful and hateful at the same time. I pray that you put your slippers away under your bed at night so that when you wake in the morning, you have to start on your knees to find them. And while you're down there, say thank you. A bad attitude is like a flat tire. Until you change it, you're not going anywhere. St. Denzel, right there. Here's four action points I want to suggest to you. Number one. Thank someone today, someone you know, some person, for some way, some specific way that they have blessed you. Some human being, say, I want to thank you for, you know, could be a spouse, child, parent, friend, whatever. Give thanks to someone today. Secondly, tell someone today, some human being, what you want to thank God for. Some of you have already done that this morning, but you can do it again. It's okay. Say to someone, I want to thank God for this. Thirdly, on Thursday, as part of your celebration of Thanksgiving, actually thank God. Take time to give thanks to God for the blessings that he's given to you. And then fourthly, I've got an experiment I want you to try. Every day between now and the end of the year, start your day and end your day by giving thanks to God. Make it the first thing you do in the morning and the last thing you do at night. And just see what happens. Let's pray. Father, we are overwhelmed by your grace that is extended to us in so many, many ways. By the many gifts, as was stated a little earlier, we could spend hours and will in fact spend eternity talking about your goodness and your grace and your love and your mercy poured out in so many varied ways to us. So Lord, we thank you and we pray that you'll cause us to be people who are thankful people, that our hearts get reset every single day by giving thanks to you. Whether our circumstances are good or bad, we always give thanks to you because you are always good and faithful. We love you, Father. Amen.